And good morning. They sang, they have come out of great tribulation. I believe the greatest tribulation is yet to come, Daniel 12:1, the great time of trouble. In all my years of teaching, I very seldom failed to give an assignment at the end of the class, once in a while, and they would be very happy. So, reverting to my old habit, I need to give you an assignment regarding the Great Tribulation. I'm going to be here next week, and I ask you to read Revelation 15:1, and then all of Revelation 16. 16 is the list of the seven last plagues. Revelation 15:1, and then Revelation 16. That's your assignment, but there's more to the assignment than that. As you read through those plagues, is there a way that you can specifically identify that Jesus is behind and in each plague specifically? Title of the sermon next week is Jesus and the Plagues. In each plague, how do you see Jesus' face? Because we're going to look at that. Lord willing, you'll be back next week to look at that. So that's your assignment this morning. It was not quite as enjoyable a walk. Barb tries to do her 10,000 steps a day. I do maybe half of that. I like to get at least 2 miles in. So this morning we had our umbrellas. It was just misty. And I think if we hadn't had them, it's ringing just a little bit, Karen. I don't know if she's around. The sound is just ringing just a little bit. Anyway, we had to walk with those umbrellas. And it's not as nice as being able to swing the arms. You know, you have to hold first the umbrella this way and walk a while, and then you hold it this way. But we got it done with fresh air and good vigor in the lungs. So it was still great to do the walk before we ate our breakfast. I had my mother for 76 years. She died when she was 96. So how does that work? Because she borned me. She didn't hatch me. She borned me when she was 20, and it was so good to have my dear mother all that time, even though the last few years, she wasn't herself. Her mind just wasn't alert. Barb still has her mother, and she brought her from Washington State to the town where we live in Loveland, to North Shore, and so she's 96, to be 97 soon, and just as sharp as a tack. Physically, she's not that well off. So this is Mother's Weekend, Mother's Day weekend tomorrow, and we'll have Mama Joyce, Barb's mother, over to eat some special food at our house, if we can get her to transfer and be strong enough to walk. Surely the influence of a godly mother is the greatest thing on earth. If we just had that kind of influence consistently, what a different society in which we would live. Perhaps we'll get to see Eve someday, the mother of us all. Bible and Ellen White doesn't specifically mention that Eve will be there, but you have to believe that she, too, was a believer in the coming Lamb, and she looked forward to having birthed the Messiah herself, we're told, and it just never came in her lifetime. Wouldn't it be neat to see her? See? The most gorgeous woman creature the Lord ever made, outside of my wife, and get to talk with her and see how things are. So happy Mother's Day weekend. This sermon is not about Mother's Day. It's about something totally different. But I needed to mention mothers. My little wife mother was a wonderful mother for our two boys. I thank her for that. So we'll take a look at misery's top 10 list. Have you ever been through any misery in your life? Dallas had some. He just had some surgery, and he says he's feeling pretty well. It doesn't really look very comfortable there on the side, but he came through it just fine. Good to see you back, buddy. So we're going to do a top 10 list. You know how it goes, 10, 9, 8, 7? So you'll know when it's about over, when we get to number one, you can go eat lunch. I hope all of you stay for our potluck. Barb even brought some good stuff today to go along with all your good stuff that you do. So number 10, to start misery's top 10 list, we're not alone in the universe. here is a verse that I ask you to pick out. What word out of there, out of that verse from Hebrews, would say that we're not alone? Well, you can hardly read it, huh? Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Which word would say we're not alone? The worlds, plural. Do you see that one? Maybe if I highlight it like that. Worlds, that's not singular. Have you heard of this organization, SETI, S-E-T-I? Brent has, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. These are secular scientists. They're reaching out, sending out radio waves, and then capturing them back with these huge radio telescopes, hoping to hear someone talk to them. And there's been different movies that point this out. I wonder if they'll ever really hear from an unfallen world, because all the other worlds that God created are unfallen, right? They're not like us. So I don't think they're going to hear a whole lot. Job 1:6. If you didn't catch on, misery's top 10 list is really from the life of Job. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So who were these sons of God? Because it's plural. And why did Satan have the right even to come there with the other sons of God? Some will conclude that the sons of God are angels. And there's this quote from our dear Ellen lady, 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands of angels, beautiful, triumphant sons of God. She calls them sons of God. Possessing surpassing loveliness and glory, will escort him on his way. In the place of a crown of thorns, he will wear a crown of glory. So here she talks about angels being the sons of God. There might be another way to interpret sons of God if you look at Luke 3:38. And it says, which was, you know, this is the beginning, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Cainan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was, Ramona says, which was the son of God. Adam was a son of God. He was created. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life after God carefully formed him out of the mud and the dust of the earth. Wouldn't there be an Adam, probably not called Adam, on every one of the other created worlds? They were sons of God too, and they came to present themselves to a council in heaven. It was like a town hall meeting for the whole universe. And here came all these sons of God. There was a day, Job 1:6, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan was there too. This gives you an indication of why he may have been there. Satan went alone. This is before this meeting probably, or maybe after. I don't know, just the chronology. Satan went to mature the plans that would most surely secure the fall of Adam and Eve. He wanted them to fail. He had fears that his purposes might be defeated. Again, even if he should succeed in leading Adam and Eve to disobey the commandment and thus become transgressors of his law and no good come to himself, his own case would not be improved. His guilt would only be increased. True? If he got us to fall, he would be more guilty than before. He shuddered. I had never known this about Satan, that in his mental framework, where he was considering making this new creation fail, he shuddered at the thought of plunging the happy, holy pair into misery and remorse he himself was enduring. He seemed in a state of indecision. Never realized that before, putting this together. He seemed in a state of indecision, at one time firm and determined, then hesitating and wavering. His angels were seeking him, their leader, because he had gone off to think and shudder by himself for a while. They wanted to say, well, we're going to unite with you. Whatever you decide to do, we will go with you, with him, and bear the responsibility and share the consequences. Do you think they'll share in any consequences? Absolutely. And we know the result of his tempting and putting this planet into misery. Satan proudly boasted that the world that God was made was now under his dominion. He was the ruler, because to those whom you worship, that's your ruler. So they had surrendered their allegiance to God, and now they obeyed Satan's plan from the deception. Having conquered Adam, the monarch of the world, he gained the race as his subjects, and he should now possess Eden and make that his headquarters. Eden was going to be his headquarters. He would there establish his throne and be monarch of the world. So why did Satan come among all those people, those other Adams from other worlds? Because he was now the leader of this earth. Satan had thus become and had acquired the legal right to represent earth in the heavenly councils. Adam had to stay put. Satan went with all the rest of the others to attend that congregation. Whereas before, certainly Adam would have been the rightful representative in that great town hall meeting in those councils. The Lord said, Satan, well, why are you here? Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Can't you imagine him gloating as he's walking up and down? They obeyed me. I'm the ruler now. And he's from walking up and down, very happy with himself of having deceived the pair and caused the fall of our parents. Is Satan still our legal representative? Not since when? Since the cross, and we'll get to a quote for that. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This is from Luke. And another quote, Satan was cast down by the death of Christ. Casting down of Satan as an accuser of the brethren in heaven was accomplished by the great work of Christ in giving up his life. I wonder what it would be like for a being that used to have free reign through the universe to be confined to the planet that he had caused misery in. He couldn't go around and tempt other worlds, we're told, after they resisted the temptation of their own tree of knowledge of good and evil. He couldn't go tempt them anymore. He was just put in the prison house of this earth. So we're not alone in the universe. Now that number 10, that's the first one of the batch, that's the longest, so they'll get shorter in case you're worried about us taking... Well, Martin Pope said I could take as long as I want. Number 9, bad things are not acts of God. We see a mother trying to shelter her little daughter as what's coming. Can you see in the distance? What does it look like is coming toward them? A tornado, and they found an overpass, and they're down under the pillars. Bad things aren't acts of God, even though the insurance industry throughout this country defines an act of God. They call it acts of God when it's bad things. An extraordinary, unexpected, natural event, such as hurricane, tornado, earthquake, or even the sudden death of a person, an act of God can be used legally as a defense against liability for injuries or damages. Is it an act of God? Not when we know the story of Job and know the kindness and love of our Heavenly Father and the good thoughts that He thinks about us. Here's a promise for you. It tells, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Yes. To give you an expected end. Oh, how we want that end to come soon. Jeremiah 29:11, a beautiful promise that the Lord thinks good thoughts about us. He doesn't go along trying to make evil happen. And then we come to number 8. So often we get this backwards. Perhaps Job did too. Bad things do happen to good people. You know that, don't you? I don't think I'd want to be bitten by the spider that caused that. Bad things happen to good people. How would you like to own that house? Fence line is almost underwater. Ugh. Well, we got at least 2 nurses in the room. Melissa and my wife, maybe more. I don't know if you've seen your mom. I don't know if you ladies have seen anything that bad or not. Motorcycle accident. She's nodding her head yes. What's that? Oh, she is too, Mary? All right. And then bad things happen to good people. Sometimes people get very ill with diseases or cancers. Sometimes they may even end up getting a special ride in a special vehicle. I preached at Carbon Valley, just a few miles over here, last Sabbath. There are four people there with cancer. One of them is a lymphoma cancer, one some kind of skin cancer, another one was this fellow is only expected to live, and I'm not going to say names, expected a few months to live. He and his wife are facing that time when he will get this special ride. And then there's another fellow that had surgery, Dallas. He lost a kidney. He had cancer of the kidney. He has one left, and he seems to be doing pretty well. But bad things happen to us. Even in this whole world of hope, we still get struck down by nasty diseases. And we don't dare lose hope, although certainly in the face of some of that we could. Boy, that building is swaying in the wind as the tornado comes along. How would you like to take care of that one, you nurses? I have no idea how that was even, I mean, how would you get that rammed up your gluteus back there? That isn't a very happy looking situation. And apparently they left the thing in there until they get him into surgery, because if you pull it out too soon, the guy could bleed to death. So here they'll have it under control. And he may have been a good person, I don't know. This one I think would be the worst. I didn't have to experience this. A father having to comfort a little daughter who is told she has weeks or months or a year or two to live. And he's putting his forehead against her, saying, I know you don't feel good, but Jesus will make it all better someday. And having to tell her goodbye, that would not be a fun thing for me to have to do. Because we're still immersed in this thing called the Great Controversy, we can expect bad things to happen to good people. We're in a battleground, and we're going to lose a few battles, but who wins the war? Jesus, the good people. We can choose to be on his side. We've read the end of the book. We know who comes out on top, even though we may lose a few battles. God doesn't always protect us from pain of evil people's choices. Expect bad things to happen to good people. God doesn't always protect us from pain of disease and misery. Sometimes it's consequences of our own choices that make us sick. And we may have to live with those consequences. So expect bad things to happen to good people as long as the Great Controversy continues. We've seen news about bad gases being given to children and adults in Syria, killing their own people over there, and other things to cause problems. And this goes clear back to World War II in the death camps. And certainly there were good people among the prisoners there. Bad things happened to them. So back to the story of Job. Job 1:7-11, the Lord said to Satan, where are you coming from? And Satan answered, said, from going, we read this before, going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my buddy Job, my faithful servant? There's none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil. He doesn't even want to do evil. Have you considered Job? God says to Satan. Satan answered and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him? Nearly every day when I pray that the Lord will put a hedge about each of my boys, about each of my grandchildren, about my daughter-in-law. Put a hedge about them. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But you put forth your hand and you touch all that stuff that he's blessed with, and he's going to curse you to your face. We know that's not what happened. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only you can't touch him. At this point in the story, you can't touch him. You can take all his stuff away. So So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, Job 1:22. Satan is a destroyer. So what bad things happened to Job? What wonderful little treats had he dreamed up for him? Would you count now? How many times does someone rush in and say, I alone am escaped to tell you? How many times did he get this kind of message even while the guy was speaking? The next one came with more bad news. How many times? And there was a day when there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they've slain the servants. So all your good employees that were taking care of your stuff, they've been killed with the edge of the sword, and I only am alone escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, no break in this, no interruption, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep, and the servants consumed them. I only am alone, escaped alone to tell thee. Was this the fire of God? Who's behind all this right now? Satan. This is like saying it was an act of God. It's wrong. It was the fire of the devil. He had control. The Lord gave him permission. You can touch all this stuff, but you don't touch him. It's not the fire of the Lord that did all that nasty stuff. And while he was yet speaking, there came another, said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, fell upon the camels, have carried them away. Ye have slain the servants with the... So here's more servants that are killed than the camels. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then there's this one. While he was yet speaking, verse 18, there came also another and said, isn't this the worst one? This has got to be the worst one. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon them, the young men and the women, and they're dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. How many times did these messages come? Did you count? Four. One after another. Messages of destruction and misery and loss and killing of servants, and now his own flesh and blood. He had seven sons and three daughters. They're all gone. How in the world would you survive all that? In this picture, I picked this guy out as some artist's conception as being possibly Job. He's there with his staff and his hand is on his forehead like, oh, how can I take all this? I don't know if he's really the one that's supposed to be Job. Maybe he's the guy in the doorway. I don't know. But how could any one person be expected to bear up under four bad pieces of news like Job did? How could he do that? So here we come to number seven. Instead of the fire of the Lord doing that, it was the fire of the devil. The real enemy is still our enemy, although there's some more powerful than him on this earth, praise the Lord. And the good angels outnumber the bad by what ratio? 2 to 1, a third of them fell. So the real enemy is Satan, and he's going to be defeated one of these days. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all your diseases. And we're told that in some cases he causes the disease because then he can remove it and claim the credit. Who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster till populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Even now he is at work. All you have to do is listen to the news for a week and you can hear all the disasters happening. In accidents, calamities, by sea, by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes, terrific hailstorms, tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, earthquakes, in every place, and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest. Famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint. Already did that out in L.A., right? And thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become less and less frequent, more and more frequent and disastrous. And it seems like the tempo's increasing, as I look at it. Destruction would be upon both man and beast from great controversy. Satan has worked continually to eclipse the glories of the future world and to attract our whole attention. Get this next part. This is his one of his methods. Direct our whole attention to the things of this life. We're comfortable. We think it's great if we haven't suffered great disaster. And we just go along in our Laodicean, lackadaisical, fatal attitude. That's the Satan's working method. Be on guard against it and trust Jesus. Look at him. The Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. What's the next phrase? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I agree the Lord giveth. Did the Lord take away in these cases for Job? No, that was Satan's work. The Lord gave, Satan took it away. He's the real enemy. But Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord, even though he had no clue really what was going on. Satan is the destroyer. Jesus is the restorer. You'll find that in Heavenly Places, page 63. Jesus said to them, an enemy hath done all this. And he was talking about other things there in Matthew, but it's still the enemy. The very trials that task our faith most severely and make it seem that God has forsaken us. Maybe you've never had that feeling, that God has forsaken me, are to lead us closer to Jesus Christ, that we may lay all our burdens at his feet and experience the peace which he will give us in exchange if we just trust him. So Satan said, ha, I took all his stuff away. He's still saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. So let me try a little harder, Lord. And Satan said, but put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, okay, I'll let you. I'll let you do what you wish with him, but save his life. You cannot take his life. And there are things worse than death. There's miseries that are worse than death, I can imagine. So what miserable thing happened next? What did Satan cause to happen to this old saint of old? What miserable thing happened? Boils. Have you ever had a boil? Have you ever had to lance one, Melissa? What comes out when you lance one? And Diane's done that too? Somebody? I had one on the back of my neck one time, and it was not fun. I was a teenager, and they threatened to take me to the doctor to have it lanced. I said, what does lance mean? They said, cut it and let it pus out. I said, no. Well, then we'll try one other thing. We'll try hot and cold fomentations, and my mother got it so I didn't have to have it lanced. I was very happy about that. So the Lord, so this is Job 2:7. The Lord smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Is that what the verse says?
No.
I quoted it right there.
No.
This is what happens when you leave part of the verse out or you omit context. Boils. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. This is Satan's work. Smote him from the sole of his feet into his crown. And you read further the story. He found some broken pieces of pottery that were kind of sharp on the edge, and he would scrape himself with those so that things could come out. You don't have to look at that, especially before lunch.
Get past that.
This would be miserable stuff. Do you think Job had any clue why all these things were happening to him? Did he know what we can read in the story of Job? No, he didn't. Any doubts, any uncertainties? Absolutely, and we're going to read what he said to the Lord during this time here in just a moment. So he was in misery, unsure from where all this evil was coming from, unsure of his own standing before God. It would make him question, am I really one of God's children when all this happens to me? Don't you dare go there. Unsure of his standing before God. Number 6. Oh, this strikes close to home. Sometimes those close to us can give us bad counsel. Now, this is not going in my house from this little girl. But Job's wife gave him wonderful counsel, right? Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? All this has happened. Just curse God and die. Not only that, He had at least four friends, Eliphaz, and you can name all those, you can read the story. They had wonderful things to tell Job, that you're an understanding person. We don't understand why all this is happening to you. That isn't what they said. They told him that all this was happening because he must have displeased the Lord. I don't have the whole thing there, but look at these guys, some artists painted. And this is one little verse that represents kind of the tenor of what they would tell to Job. The increase of his house shall depart. Talking about a person that's in trouble with the Lord. And his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. Boy, that's happened to Job. All the stuff that he lost. This is the portion of a wicked man from God and the heritage appointed unto him by God. You must have done horrible things for God to do all this to you. They were very comforting. Yes. And this is what Job was saying. And this gives me hope that we can complain to God and he doesn't hold it against us. I loathe my very life. Therefore, I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me, but tell me what charges you have against me. He's saying that to the Lord. Does it please you to oppress me? To spurn the works of your hand while you smile on the schemes of the wicked? Your hand shaped me and made me. He acknowledges that God is his creator. Will you turn now and destroy me? Remember that you molded me like clay? Will you now turn me to dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk on a warm day and curdle me like cheese? Why then did you even bring me out of the womb? I wish I had died before any eye saw me. If only I'd never come into being or had been carried straight from the womb to the grave. Just kill me now, Lord. I don't know why you did all this to me. But in all this questioning and complaining, there is this beautiful verse. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips or with his mind or heart, right? Because the lips speak what's in there. He did not sin, even though he was wondering, why is all this happening to me? Number five, I think it is, yes. We just don't know very much. We don't know why things happen. But God had some real good questions for Job, and I'll go just blazing through these. You talk about Leviathan, can you draw him out with a hook? This is a big sea creature. Where were you when I created the world? Declare if you know. Where's the way that light dwells, and where's the way that darkness has a place thereof? Can you send lightnings? Do they come and go? So he didn't argue with Job. He just had these questions back. All the lightnings that come. Can you bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? That's a star system, a cluster. Or loose the bands of Orion? Can you do that? Does the hawk fly by the wisdom and the eagle soar her wings, not up to her nest on high? Do you have an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like him? And Job was brought to humility amidst all those questions. He knew he was not God and he didn't understand everything. Number four, good things happen when we pray. But there's more to this. Sure, good things happen when we pray. It may make more change in us than it does in God, but good things happen when we pray for our friends. Satan had his thumb on Job all this time. First to take away his goods, his servants, his animals, and then his children, and then to give boils for him. Satan had control of him until Job prayed for his friends. Did you realize that? There you go. Not only pray for your friends, pray with your friends. Yes, indeed. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job and said, Satan, you no longer have control of him because he has prayed for his friends that did nothing but put him down and tell him he was no good. But when Job turned and prayed for those guys that had given him such wonderful messages, the Lord said, that's enough. Satan, You've had your chance. That's all. He turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. The lesson for us. Number three, God will restore more than we lose. Although for some of us it may have to be that he restores more in the new earth than we lose here. But he still will do it, right?
Yes.
He will still restore way more than we lose down here. But he did it to Job on the face of the earth. The Lord turned the captivity. This is from 42:10 of Job. The Lord turned the captivity of Job, and the Lord gave Job how much more?
As much as he had before.
Twice as much as he had before. And you read how many hundreds or thousands of camels and sheep and oxen and all that he had there early in Job, and then you read it later, and it was all twice of what he had before. So his prosperity doubled. At what cost, though? So Job, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and all the land where no woman found as fair as the daughters of Job. That means they were beautiful, and their father gave them an inheritance with their brethren. This is Job 42. This is after all the bad stuff has happened. Now that 7 sons and 3 daughters is not twice what he had before. So what's going on there? He had 7 and 3 before the disaster and they were killed. Now he just has 7 and 3. That's not twice as much, huh? But it is. Maybe in eternity, perhaps, I don't know this, maybe all 20, right? 10 before and 10 after. Maybe all 20 will be saved. And after Job lived after this 140 years beyond the disaster, and he saw his sons and his sons' sons unto 4 generations. And maybe the first 10 kids, since he prayed for the Lord to put a hedge about them, maybe they'll be saved. And he'll get all 20. He'll have twice as many as he had before. We don't know that for sure. What a happy reunion that would be for Job to get to meet. Man, he must have kept his wife pregnant and barefoot. 20 kids. Of course, they lived a lot longer than we live now. But 20 kids she bore him, even though she said, curse God and die. So that was number three. Number two, this is the confidence that Job has, and I want to sink my teeth into this. I praise the Lord for this part of the story. We don't have to guess at it. We can know today that we have salvation now. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. This is New Testament, not Job, but we will get there. That ye may guess at it. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. We can know that. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Job echoed that. This is also from John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you know God as well as you'd like to know him? Do you spend time with Jesus every morning, studying and reading? Saying, Jesus, meet me here. I want to get to know you better. Holy Spirit, interpret for me. Because if we don't ask for the Holy Spirit to interpret, there's another spirit that would love to misinterpret for us. We need to pray that way. My wife has 5 copies of the little book. Hold them up so they can see there. First 5 people that see her after church can have a copy by Morris Vinden, How to Know God. It's a little 5-day plan. So if you want a copy of it, talk to Barb. Life eternal, that you may know God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. However, in the meantime, we still live in this crazy planet. He knows the end from the beginning. Many will be laid away to sleep before the fiery ordeal of the time of trouble shall come upon the world. I'm getting a little bit white-haired, not just a little bit, and I may have to sleep a while before the time of trouble. I don't know. But I'm okay with that, to go to sleep a while. I wish I could sleep as well as I used to when I was a kid. Sometimes I don't sleep as well as I should at night. Wake up because my bladder needs to be made gladder, and then it's hard to get back to sleep. And so I may have to go to sleep a while, and some of us here may have to do that. But he knows the end from the beginning. And he bears the marks in his palms, in his side. You may suffer misery and disease, persecution, abandon of family, attacks from the devil, but never forget, I paid for your life with my own. You are mine. I will never leave you nor forsake you, even if you have terrible disease or other problems. Hebrews 13:5 is that great promise. And here's what Job said in that regard. Even now, this I love. This is from NIV. And Sandy, you mentioned NIV this morning. King James, I don't think, says it nearly as beautifully as NIV does. Even now, my witness is in heaven. This is Job talking. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. Can you say Jesus is your friend? My intercessor is on high. He is my friend as my eyes pour out tears to God. He didn't know why all this was happening, but he said, my intercessor's up there, and he's my friend, even if I'm crying. And this one I love, his confidence. He knows the way that I take, and when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He had that confidence, Job 23:10. And then this one is so special, 19:25. For I know, Job knew, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job said, I know he lives. That was before Christ came and died. In fact, some say that Job is the oldest book of the Bible in terms of when it was written. He knew that his Redeemer lived. And I shall see for myself and mine eyes shall behold him and not another. That was his confidence, folks, in the spite of all this misery and trouble. I know that my Redeemer lives, even as my eyes pour out tears to God. Number one, we're there, folks. Here it is. God will ultimately triumph, and we can choose to be on his side. We can make that choice. If you want to be on the winning side, the reward is beyond our wildest imaginings. We'll get to spend time with, look upon the face of the one that made it all possible. We'll get to see Jesus face to face. What a day that will be when he welcomes us home and we get to walk up there with brand new bodies that feel good every day, no more disease, and we'll get to grow up and be the average height that Adam and Eve were. We're told that's perhaps over twice as tall as men now living. We may march in as little pygmies, but the Lord promises you'll grow up as calves in the stall when he welcomes us home, and maybe we'll get to see Eve, the mother of us all. I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to see you guys there. I need thee, precious Jesus, hymn 484, and the words will be on the screen, Karen.
Yeah, I just have to switch so I can get the music up.
Sure, that's fine. But they'll be there. Let's stand and sing this as a prayer. I do need thee, precious Jesus.
Stone.
and Jesus. Thank you for inspiring this old book to be written so that when we go through the miseries of this life, we can have hope and confidence that our intercessor, our friend, is on high. You are our friend, our Savior. May we trust you even though things look shaky all around. May we trust you in the new week and trust you all the way as we help each other on our way to your kingdom. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Join us for the fellowship meal. We've got lots of food back there, and it looks good.